Welcome to Bankless, where we explore the frontier of internet money and internet finance. And sometimes that frontier is at a conference, like last weekend, where over 1,000 developers, founders, builders, and investors attended the Starkware sessions in Tel Aviv in order to participate in growing the StarkNet ecosystem. This is Bankless's Starkware session series, which are 9 bite-sized episodes interviewing the founders, builders, and ecosystem developers of StarkNet. Every once in a while in the crypto world, a conference happens, but not everyone is available to attend. Don't worry, Bankless has your back because I go to basically every conference that's out on the frontier and I bring an entire podcast studio in tow with me in order to make sure that the Bankless Nation stays on the frontier of what's happening in crypto. In this episode, I'm talking to Yoav Weiss, who is a security researcher at the Ethereum Foundation and has been leading the charge behind ERC 4337, which hopes to eventually turn into an EIP, which will become a part of core Ethereum. What does ERC 4337 do? It enables account abstraction on the Ethereum layer one. StarkNet and other ZK rollups are going to be able to beat Ethereum layer one to the punch when it comes to enabling account abstraction in smart contract wallets, which is good because then they can come back and teach the Ethereum layer one about what needs to be built and how ERC 4337 needs to be constructed in order to have the best smart contract wallet experience possible. So this is the second of two account abstraction, smart contract wallet related interviews, the first being Madi from Bravos. So I hope that these two interviews can really take you from 0 to 60 about the world of smart contract wallets and how they will eventually come to dominate all of crypto, starting with StarkNet and ZK rollups, moving on to other layer twos, and then eventually to the Ethereum mainnet. I hope you enjoy this interview with Yoav. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. Kraken has been around for almost as long as crypto itself. As crazy as crypto is, Kraken has remained a rock for its clients, building out a platform designed to stand the test of time. Kraken is all about proof, not promises, which is why they've pioneered a proof of reserves, a system that lets Kraken's customers verify for themselves the solvency and responsibility of the Kraken Exchange. And for this reason, and many more, we've chosen Kraken as Bankless's strategic sponsor for 2023. And once you're done using Kraken to get your dirty fiat money into pristine crypto assets, perhaps you should check out Arbitrum, where so much of the frontier of crypto innovation is taking place. Arbitrum just announced their Stylus initiative, which is their brand new programming environment that lets developers deploy apps using their favorite programming languages like Rust, C, C++, alongside regular old Solidity EVM apps. Devs can use any coding language they like, and it simultaneously drops layer 2 fees by an order of magnitude. It's a big deal. So many of your favorite DeFi apps have already deployed to Arbitrum, like Uniswap. But did you know that Uniswap isn't just for ERC20 tokens anymore? Uniswap is also an NFT aggregator too, to make sure that you are getting the best price on your NFT purchases. Uniswap gives NFT collectors and traders powerful tools, all from the cozy, comfy Uniswap interface. By the way, it's also got a native fiat on-ramp, it's also deployed on like every layer 2, and it's got this nifty cool thing called a universal router that ensures that you always get the best price on your trades. Crypto protocols like Arbitrum and Uniswap are becoming super powerful, so make sure that you're also using a wallet that's equally as powerful, or else you'll be missing out. If you're looking to upgrade your wallet experience, check out Phantom, the number one wallet of Solana, which has recently come to both Ethereum and Polygon. Phantom has native NFT support, giving you your own NFT gallery from inside the wallet. Phantom is both a browser extension and a mobile wallet, and is also the only wallet to span both the Solana and Ethereum ecosystems. Check it out at phantom.app. And now let's get into the interview. Bankless Nation, once again, we are back in Tel Aviv, Israel, and I'm talking to Yoav Weiss, who taught me almost everything that I know about account abstraction. Yoav, how's it going, man?
Going great, thank you.
What brings you to Starkware sessions all the way out here in Tel Aviv?
I actually live here.
Oh, okay. So it's just down the street for you?
Yeah. It's literally 20 minutes from here.
Well, that's super convenient. I am very jealous. It took me 12 hours to get here. What's going on as it relates to just Starkware, StarkNet, and what brings you here specifically? Like, what is going on here in this conference that really interests you?
So I've been focused on account abstraction, as you know, and StarkNet is and StarkNet has this embedded in their chain. So it's great, and it's been great collaborating with them. It's so I'm here to talk to people about it, to help people understand it, to learn about it from people, to talk to wallets. There are many wallets here that are worth talking to.
And so this is, as far as I can tell, really the StarkNet is really where the account abstraction is actually coming into fruition. It is kind of a conversation of EIPs on the Ethereum layer one, but on StarkNet it's actually being developed as teams. And we have the Argent team, we have the Bravos team. So what's it like watching a lot of this account abstraction theory turn into practice here on Starknet?
So I've been also involved in that. I'm not watching it from the sidelines. And Starknet account abstraction is actually based on the same ideas as ERC-4337. It uses the same protection, the same ways to decentralize things. So it's just easier when it comes to when we're building a new network. It's easier to build it into the network. So, you know, we started the ERC in the form of an ERC and not an EIP because it's easier to standardize it across different networks. And then Starknet has been the first network to actually put it into the consensus. But I expect that the same will happen in other layer twos, and over time we'll even get it to Ethereum. But this will take time, you know.
So what is the frontier of account abstraction, the frontier of smart contract wallets? What have you learned, or what are you experiencing perhaps as a result of this conference specifically, but overall on Starknet? Like, what's the new thing in the world of account abstraction?
So we see different use cases. These use cases have been discussed before, but now they become more feasible. And when it's done at the network level more efficiently, it really opens up the design space. The design space has been there all along, but now that it can be done more cheaply and efficiently, we are starting to see it really happen.
And can you just walk me again and the Bankless listeners about the synergies between specifically a ZK rollup and account abstraction? Why is ZK rollup such an awesome fertile ground for account abstraction?
I'm not sure it has to do with the fact that it's a ZK rollup. It could be done on another rollup, but the EVM rollups try to stay EVM equivalent initially, so it's harder to make changes and deviate from the standard. And in the case of Starkware, since it's not EVM to begin with, it's easier to experiment. You don't have to obey any past rules.
Okay, so yeah, I want to unpack that a little bit, because I think that's a good way to learn something cool about the world of Ethereum and all the also its layer twos. Both Arbitrum and Optimism attempt to be EVM equivalent. And now if you want to be EVM equivalent, you have to follow, like, what is the EVM on the Ethereum layer one? And the Ethereum layer one is not account abstraction enabled, because that's something that we're working on. And so perhaps why account abstraction and smart contract wallets like Bravos and Argent have built like some actually like planted their feet in the world of Starknet is that Starknet never intended to be EVM equivalent. They always forked off and made Cairo, or just like we're EVM, perhaps not even compatible, just they're just a different EVM chain. And that's why they've been able to kind of leapfrog in the world of ZK of account abstraction. Is all that right?
Yeah, it certainly made it easier for them. But I think that we'll see other layer twos, the EVM equivalent layer twos, we see them as a fertile ground for innovation too. I expect that in the future many EIPs will be experimented with. I mean, EIPs not as in ERCs, but actual protocol changes. I think we'll see more and more experimentation on other EVM networks. And it's quite likely that we'll see optimistic rollups also spinning up a separate rollup to experiment with protocol level account abstraction.
Okay. How are the people that are working on smart contract wallets and account abstraction? How are they leveraging you and your expertise here at the Starkware sessions? How are you helping with them? And like, what are the conversations like?
Yeah, so I've been talking to them about use cases since I've been thinking about account abstraction for a few years now. And I'm talking about how they could use ERC-4337. There are some limitations during validation which are absolutely required in order to be able to decentralize it. So sometimes it's not trivial to work around these limitations. But so far we haven't encountered any use case that couldn't be solved with some creativity. So when I'm talking to wallet developers, I often find myself helping to design around these constraints without sacrificing censorship resistance.
Do you think that because Starkware seems to be, or Starknet seems to be kind of ahead in the world of account abstraction, that a lot of this learnings here is going to be exported out to the rest of Ethereum. Is that kind of how you think it might go?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think the wallets that are being developed, for Starknet right now, are going to show up on other networks as we make it more possible. And that's part of the reason why it's so important to standardize it so that we have feature parity, because wallet developers usually they don't have the resources to develop many different wallets. So we should try to standardize it at the chain level so that wallet developers can deploy their wallets everywhere.
And so there are multiple wallets. I've named a couple, Bravos and Argent, that are using smart contract wallets on Starknet. And I'm assuming because there's already a growing ecosystem on Starknet, we'll actually be able to learn from their learnings, and they're going to figure out what the best form factor for account abstraction is on Starknet. And because just the pace of iteration on Starknet is so fast, that's actually how we're going to learn how to apply this to the rest of Ethereum. Is that a fair take?
Yes, I think experimenting through actual products and actual users is the best way. We shouldn't do it in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. So having Argent and Bravos and others doing this is absolutely essential for making it happen. Mm-hmm. They're also adding use cases that I've been advocating for a long time and are really difficult to do without protocol level changes. For example, Bravos is doing. They let you sign with from the secure enclave of your phone, which is something that we already saw an implementation back in Bogota. One of the hackathon projects implemented this in Solidity and deployed it on an EVM chain. But it's really expensive to do if you don't have support for it from the network. So I think that we're going to see more of these use cases, and people will optimize them, and we'll see them moving to other chains.
So I've noticed I was at the Hacker House my first day here, and a lot of people, like, I was watching developers tinker around on their computers, and instead of the MetaMask icon, they have the Argent icon in their top right as their extension. And so do you think that actually being able to innovate at the smart contract wallet level, is that going to be the thing that actually is pretty disruptive to the MetaMask dominance across the rest of Ethereum?
Yes, I think the move to account abstraction is an opportunity for disruption in the wallet space that could definitely benefit from some disruption, some more variety of projects. But I think that we'll also see MetaMask doing a lot of interesting things in this space.
Is MetaMask going to be doing account abstraction?
Well, you should ask them. You know, they are here, but. But I believe that we'll see some innovation in that space for MetaMask as well.
Okay, well, the competition is on. Yoav, what else is
why
going?
Why competition?
It's not. Competition's always good for the user, right? Like all of these people want to have like as much mindshare as possible. Do you think like wallets might stratify into like different use cases? As in, like, maybe this isn't exactly right, but Bravos is the gaming smart contract wallet and Argent is the DeFi smart contract wallet. Or does that not really make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense because with account abstraction, you can make the wallet as simple as you like or as complex as you like, depending on, for example, if you have a complex authorization needs or you need to enforce certain policies, then you might want a more complex wallet. But as a new user, you just want the simplest possible wallet where you add your phone, you don't know what a private key is, and you can move and you can just start using it. But what's more important is that with account abstraction, you'll be able to set the implementation, you'll be able to upgrade. So as a new user who doesn't know anything about crypto, you'll probably want to start with the easiest one to use. But maybe as you accumulate more value in the account, now you have assets, you need to protect them, and you have better understanding, now maybe you're going to upgrade it, and you're going to upgrade in place. You're not going to move your assets elsewhere. You're just going to switch from a very simple wallet to one that gives you more optionality.
I really like the idea of a wallet, a smart contract wallet, can be as simple or as complex as anyone really wants it to be. But we're starting, of course, at the very beginning of this story because we're still so early in the world of account abstraction. What are the first use cases that you think are really going to be onboarded into these smart contract wallets?
Mm-hmm. So we already see things like social recovery that Argent has been doing for a long time. And social recovery is often misunderstood. It doesn't necessarily mean that your friends are going to recover it for you. It could be a ledger device in a bank vault that you're only going to use if you lost access. And we're going to see some use cases, such as, for example, session keys is something that I really like. That since you can have authorization, not just authentication, meaning that you can that each key can be authorized to do certain things, it makes sense that, for example, you have an NFT in your you have an NFT that you want to use in a game, but you don't want the game DApp to be able to transfer it. So you could have a key that only that a key that the browser keeps, so you don't need to manually sign each transaction, but you only the key can only interact with the game. And if you actually want to transfer your NFTs, that's a separate key and it requires manual signing. So we're going to see such use case as well. And but really the possibilities are endless. I mean, I can talk for hours about different use cases here.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm kind of getting like this image of a smart contract wallet that really starts off as like a blank slate, but you can plug more and more stuff into it. Is it logical to think of there being like a plugin store for your smart contract wallet? Is that like a coherent thought?
Yes, that's something that we've been talking about. We didn't want to push it into the same ERC, but I think we will need an ERC for it to standardize the way plugins work. And then you'll be able to get plugins. The way I see it, the plugins should be associated with a certain authentication, with a certain key. Yeah. So this and then the session keys are actually just a sub use case of this. It's just one plugin. And then you can have a plugin that allows, for example, performing trades. If you want to implement a more efficient DEX with an order book, you could authorize it to perform trades without you actually signing it. But there can be many such use cases, and each of these, I believe, should be a plugin. These plugins will not necessarily be written by the same person who wrote the account, you know, wrote the wallet. For example, Uniswap could write a plugin that helps you do things on Uniswap, and you could add it to any of the wallets that support the standard. But this requires some thinking. For example, these wallets will all need to use Diamond Storage. It's an EIP that helps you make sure that different contracts running in the same address space don't step on each other's toes. So I think that, and I've been advocating it to wallet, telling them that they should be using Diamond Storage from the start, so that later they can use such plugins.
Will wallets always be in this like browser extension form factor, or do you think other like will access our wallet in a different way? Because like to me, the browser extension wallet is kind of annoying. Is that going to be the future, or there's going to be something else in the way that we engage our smart contract wallets? Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think it doesn't have to be a browser extension, and I like having mobile apps do this kind of work, and I think it should be, and it can be done for the browser. It can be done even from an app running on your PC or your Mac, but I think it's important not to lock yourself into a mobile app, for example, because I really hate censorship, and I think that both Apple and Google have a permission system where they could eliminate the wallet from their app store if they want to. So I think you should have a way to recover from it and to switch to a new implementation. So at the very least, you should be able to do this from your browser.
Amazing. Yoav, I know you're always like head into the world of account abstraction, but what in addition to account abstraction have you been paying attention to lately?
Sorry?
What in addition to account abstraction mm-hmm. have you been paying attention to lately? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm a security researcher, and I've been working on other security related projects, and also I care a lot about censorship resistance in Ethereum in general. So I'm thinking a lot about PBS, about proposal build separation, and about inclusion list, and the whole thing is going to come together at some point, because with account abstraction, we'll also need to have inclusion list, and it's much more complicated to do in this context. We won't get into all the complexities right now, but there's some interplay between these topics.
Yoav, if listeners have gotten their interest piqued about the conversation that we've just had and they want to learn more, where do you recommend for them to go? Any resources that they might should be pointed to? Mm-hmm.
So we are building a website for ERC-4337, but it's not up yet. And they can also follow me on Twitter. I occasionally tweet about some ideas. We have some Telegram groups where there are very active discussions about account abstraction.
Yoav, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Cheers. Yeah.